Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're stacked today. We got a big one today. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney ready to roll. Coming from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Hopefully everybody's doing well. What is up on this very busy, busy way? The Big Ten is back. Big Ten's back. Very interesting roller coaster ride to get here, but the Big Ten is back. We'll do that coming up in hour number two. Tiki will actually be here. Could be 40-ish minutes. Could be the start of the second hour. He actually had to record something that was pretty important. So Tiki will step into the show when he's done with that. Well, again, hopefully everybody's having a great day. The hoops was crazy last night. We'll get to the Clippers collapse in a moment. We'll get to the Doc stuff. We'll get to, you know, what really needs to be said about last night. However, even though I'm going to get extensively into the Clippers, let's just put something to bed right now. There is no way on any planet, through any metric, objective or otherwise, which would be subjective, that LeBron James's block on Andre Iguodala in the NBA Finals, not only was it not as good as Bam Adebayo's block last night on Jason Tatum, it's not even close. And I want to, you have to understand what Bam did at the rim was one of the greatest defensive plays in the history of the NBA. One of the greatest plays in the history of the NBA. Now, the one thing that LeBron's play had, I mean, great pursuit, great theatrics, great magnitude based on the finals. I get that. I'm not talking about the moment. I'm talking about the play, the actual physics involved in the play. LeBron was a little, not lucky, benefited from, I encourage you to go back and watch this. There was a little double pump from Andre Iguodala as he tried to avoid J.R. Smith. So LeBron's 6'9", and Iggy's 6'6", and even a couple of years ago, wasn't a young buck. He wasn't jumping out of the gym like he used to. So LeBron had a bit of a physical advantage. So as he goes low to avoid J.R., who's coming from, I guess, basically the weak side, LeBron, you know, licks his hand and just pins that to the backboard and just whacks it and basically, you know, obliterates the basketball, right? I mean, great play. Now contrasted to last night, Jason Tatum was 40 feet away from the rim. This is where the physics and the pure strength and the velocity have to come into play. Just think about this. Common sense. 40 feet away from the rim, he takes one dribble, a bit of a misdirection, and then three dribbles toward the rim. You know, these galloping athletic strides. And then he's at the rim. He leaps up. He cups the ball. That thing is pinned back, and halfway down. What type of response or timing mechanism did Bam have to try to, forget about block, alter the shot? He took one step. He was on the weak side, and he was away from the play. He takes one step, and he meets him at the rim from a guy who is, I believe, an inch. Bam's 6'9", I think Jason's 6'8". So the height's negligible, but you get a 40-foot burst, a leap toward the rim. It's the greatest defensive play I've ever seen. Incredible. What a play. What a play that was. And what a game. Just the sequence, you know. Tatum settled for that long three at the end of regulation. Lazy shot. Poorly executed. Kemba step back. Sick. Butler threw Tatum twice and one. Count it. Sick. And then Bam with the block. What a sequence. The NBA last night was great. But you know, let's get to the Clippers here. You know, I said on the show yesterday, yeah, and eventually we're going to get around to, I mean, Paul George was miserable. I mean, just pack it in, man. Pack it in terms of ever being perceived as a superstar again. That ended on this show a while ago. But when you're throwing up corner jump shots that are hitting the side of the backboard, like, that's what I do. And probably not. But that's what I do in my mid-40s if I haven't put up a 22-footer in a long time. Like, all right, that's a little tight, a little stiff, a little short, a little long, a little left, a little right. Guy hit the backboard. Come on. Hits the backboard, right? But I told you on the show yesterday that Doc Rivers is overrated. This has nothing to do with Doc being a good guy. Doc's a great guy. Doc's got a great heart. And Doc's a good basketball coach. It's where it ends. Stop the nonsense. Doc Rivers has been around long enough to, I mean, by the way, this narrative, like the story about Doc, the scouting report, was already well and deeply shaped before last night. This was just, you know, the final emphatic failure for those still hanging on to the notion that Doc is special. Doc's not special. You know, and again, special is elite, you know, irreplaceable. Anybody could have done that with the Clippers this year. You had Kawhi and you had Paul George, not to mention a good bench. So Doc Rivers has now coached six teams that have blown 3-1 or 3-2 series leads. And he's done it with three different teams. In 2003, all right, young coach, I get it, but he's with the Magic first round. Not a huge deal, first round, whatever. But you were up 3-1 on the Pistons, and that was at the beginning of that Pistons, you know, run. Carlisle's there, it's a good team, Rip Hamilton, Big Ben, etc. All right, so it happens, whatever, 2003. 2009, night with the Celtics, loaded with Hall of Famers, second round. You're up 3-2, ironically against the Magic, you lose. 2010, the finals, we all remember this, you're up 3-2, you lose to Kobe and the Lakers. No shame losing to Kobe, but it's another choke job, another cough job. 2015, Clippers, round two, Rockets, you led 3-2, you lose. And now last night, you know, 2020, you're up on the Nuggets 3-1, and you lose. It's amazing. And listen, I get it. You know, a big part of the story, because you cannot absolve, you cannot exonerate, you can bury Paul George. I do think some of the criticisms for, or some of the reaction to Kawhi has been a little off the mark. Superstars will always be graded harshly. They should be. That's just the way it is. You know, if you want to ascend to either the best in the game or one of the two or three of your best of your generation, top 15, top 20 player of all time, you know, these are moments that we won't forget, true basketball people. But Kawhi's done so much for different teams that in a lot of ways, I'm almost prepared to say, was it a choke? It was a horrendous performance. And there's a difference. See, to me with Paul George, and I can't quantify this, but Paul George is more of just a guy who is either just reluctant or incapable of consistently, or a little bit of both, to be fair, of consistently rising to the moment. Whereas Kawhi is just, you know, this transcendent two-way player who just had a horrendous night. A big difference. I mean, that's how I choked that up. You know, what's forgotten here as well, and this is where I go back to Doc. This is coaching right here. You know, you're down two at the half. The Nuggets are. But you realize the Clippers were up 11, 12 points, you know, 3.5, 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. You know, that's where the great ones, the Rileys, you know, as much as Phil Jackson was a horrible GM, great coach. You know, I'm sure Casey Jones would have burned a few, not that he's on that level, but championships, would have burned a few timeouts and gotten things in order with Bird and McHale and those crews and that crew. Maybe even a top Rudy Tomjanovich in the mid-90s, back-to-back championships. Certainly Greg Popovich, that goes without saying. I mean, do something. Do something to stop the bleeding. And suddenly, you don't limp into the locker room, which then so clearly carries into the third quarter. You don't limp into halftime saying, oh, geez, here we go. Oh, my God, what in the world is going on? this internal strife, this doubt that invariably creeps in when you're up 3-1 and you're up 12 points with 3.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. All of a sudden, you're sucking on oranges and drinking a bottle of water. You're looking around saying, we're up two to a team that's very comfortable coming back from big deficits, either in games or in series. Oh, my God. So, to me, it's, so the question is, well, what are you saying? Would you fire Doc? Who's coming in to replace him? I might hand the team over to Ty Lue. I might. I mean, there's a lot of evidence against Doc Rivers at this point. How many superstar tandems or trios in the case of the Celtics? Multiple Hall of Famers. Kawhi in his prime. Paul George, and again, Paul's not quite that, but still an all-star. Multiple high-level performers. You had Blake Griffin, You had a young DeAndre Jordan who was skying everything. You obviously had CP3. Did nothing. And not only did you not do anything, but your playoff performances are woefully short of the expectations we had for you based on your regular season prowess, which tells me one thing. You're pretty good at beating up on a lot of average to poor teams in the NBA. Some teams that aren't that well coached, some that are well coached but just don't have the horses to beat you. And then, when it's money time and you're looking down at somebody who can match you, X for X and O for O, and can exchange, chessboard wits with you, and might not have quite the household names. Jamal Murray is not a Kawhi or even a Paul George. Now he is probably, and Jokic is. But he's not the asset that people thought that he was for a long time. Now, that doesn't mean you want to, it's crazy. I would almost feel better, if Doc was my GM, or if Doc was my president of basketball operations, or, one of the best broadcasters in the business. But, if you're calling it the way it is and you're not, protecting a guy that you really like and respect, and I like and respect Doc, but, I got to do my job. Doc failed again, and Doc failed in flames, which is what Doc always seems to do. So, as I asked the question before rhetorically, would I fire Doc Rivers? I probably would. What a colossal disappointment. And then you've got the complete flip side of the equation, the Denver Nuggets. What a heroic performance. And you know what? I deserve it. I deserve to get taken to the shed today. I really do. Because I did something I so rarely do. I jumped ship on something, a belief, a conviction that was as strong as anybody and was planted as long ago as anybody. There hasn't been a bigger Denver Nuggets supporter, believer than myself. There's been others who maybe are comparable, but I've been pumping up this team for 2+ years, pumping them up. Even with Teak, every time it comes, now he's been on board for sure, but every time, even a couple of months ago, the Clippers, hey Teak, don't forget about the Nuggets. Nuggets are good. Yeah, I know BT. No, Teak. Nuggets are good. And here I was, I vacillated, and I'm pissed that I did it. So I deserve a little heat for that. I do. I jump ship. What else do you want to say about Jokic? This guy's 7 feet. He's leading fast breaks, behind the back, hitting floaters, hitting, the wrong foot, off balance, right foot, right hand. It's crazy what he does. And Jamal Murray was an assassin. And this team, and listen, this is an oversimplification for sure of what transpired. And you can't prove this. You can only watch the games, read body language. You do this long enough, usually you're fairly adept at that. Clippers had no interest in being there. The Clippers lacked the will and that discernible spirit to fight into October for a championship. I see it from the Lakers. I see it from the Heat. I see it from the Celtics. I saw it from the Raptors. I see it from the Clippers, and we really haven't seen it. So, class dismissed on the Clippers, a team that You know, basically before my Knicks took the baton, they were, you know, the Knicks, really. What the Knicks are, they were. A laughing stock, an odd owner, putting it kindly. You know, just malfunction after malfunction, trying to throw money at certain situations. And they just, their DNA, and I'm not a big believer in, you know, like what happened 20 years ago. That's why, you know, every year I start the season optimistically for my Jets. Yeah, well, yeah, terrible, but I'm not one of these guys who says, well, just because the Jets were bad in this year and that year and really every year, that they're doomed, like the Browns. That's why I give the Browns a little bit of a chance to fight out of this, because now, I don't care what the hell happened in the 0-16 season or the myriad quarterbacks that they went through. I evaluate the now. And the evaluation for the Clippers is that they are stale. They don't have a lot of heart. I don't see any discernible upside because Paul George is not going to recover from this. And some of their bench guys are just getting older. And that's it. The ship has sailed. So how do you do this? How do you change things? You change the coach, because Kawhi can't go anywhere yet. Next year he can. Same with Paul George. And, you know, one more empty, listless exit. I don't know if those guys are going to want to even be back. They might even opt out and bounce. So they have a lot of decisions, Steve Ballmer. But Denver Nuggets, congrats on phenomenal achievements, plural. I mean, last night was a gift from the basketball gods. As I ran down the sequence from the Heat and the Celtics, we'll get to them coming up next, obviously. And the sick block by Bam at the end, and just the roller coaster ride the Nuggets have put us through, and not put us through, that almost seems like it's torturous. It's been wondrous. So awesome. They deserve it. Get a little Lakers Nuggets. I know we all thought and probably wanted on a lot of levels Lakers Clippers, but you know what? I'd rather see the more spirited, more committed, more passionate, more detail-oriented, better coach team, and better team, and that's the Nuggets. 855-212-4227. Twitter, Teak and Tierney. We'll get to the Celtics coming up next. We'll wait for Teak to get into the bin, and the Heat, Celtics Heat. We'll wait for Teak to come. I should be here certainly for 4 Eastern, maybe for the 3:40 segment. Big Ten is back. So we're popped, we're stacked. And that's that. I mean, I really respect Doc and I like Doc, but it had to be said. So I stand by what I said. Teak and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, when you need auto parts fast, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a couple of clicks away, and they offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35, or order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick it up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to your car, curbside, free. You can even have your battery tested free of charge while you're there. So if your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle to guarantee low price, like Superstar batteries, exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's rides. Nothing worse than a short circuit, or you push the button or you turn the key and nothing's happening. That's not good. Get dependable power and performance from a Superstar battery for your car, your truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts or check them out online, O'ReillyAuto.com. It's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back. CBS Sports Radio, what's happening? And brought to you by Geico. I'm just going to level with you. I've got about 37,000 freaking pop-ups on my phone, right? On my laptop, actually. So all the reads that I do, all these months later, sometimes they get lost, and I just can't find them. Like, I maybe inadvertently minimized them to get to one, you know? And then when I'm coming back, I'm looking for it. I can't find it. I've got to download it again. Oh, my God. Drives me nuts, dude.
Might have to go old school and just do hard copy and print it.
You know what? Certain things I prefer old school. I wouldn't rule that out. I really wouldn't. But our toll-free number is 855-21. You would think I would know it anyways. 855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. So right now, Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. And that's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Just visit geico.com to learn more. Teak will join us today, probably 4 Eastern. He's got something that he's taping that I know is pretty important. So, oh, and by the way, you know, I'll certainly do this with Teak when he's here. But this is awesome. Teak, you nominated again for the College Football Hall of Fame, and it is quite the robust list of talent. I know Peyton's the first timer on there. Let's see. Who else we got? We got a ton. Pro Football Hall of Fame. Modern nominees. Class of 21. They just unveiled this earlier today, and Tiki's back on it. He is a 2021 Pro Football Hall of Fame nominee. So, you know, listen, he's been so honest about this. You know, yeah, and I've told him, like, hey, if you would have hung on another year or two, and at that point you weren't hanging on because you were still absolutely one of the best in the game, he goes, no doubt, from a nominee to an inductee, you know, because he left early, which he's totally cool with, and I love that he's cool with it. It might be, it's going to be a different battle, but the fact that he's even nominated, which he obviously should be, is tremendous. So we'll have a little fun with that, throw down some of the other first-timers. I know that Megatron's one of them, obviously Peyton Manning as well. All right, the NBA last night, you had so many different stories, and I would challenge, I'm sure if you dig deep in the annals of your mind, you're going to find something that maybe matches it, especially if it's like the NBA Finals or deeper into conference finals. But the end of regulation, so Tatum, and I tweeted this when it went down, just a lazy settle. For a guy who's anything but lazy and a settler, he's a terrific two-way player. I think he's got the best defensive rating, efficiency rating in the playoffs here, Jason Tatum. But he settles for the three, all right, clunks that, and you just know it's curtains at that point. Although, and this is the sequence, you go Kemba with the step back, something he's been doing since his days at UConn. Butler just said, Tatum, move. It's grown man time. This is OG time. Move. Barreled into him, got to the rim, somehow got the shot up because he was kind of, you know, the ball was down here, still able to just plow through and get it up and got the bounce and one, hit the free throw. Great play, great spirited play. And then the Bam block, which, you know, I'm not going to run through the whole sequence again, but in terms of difficulty, not the stage, not the magnitude of the moment, but in terms of pure difficulty, not even close. It just blows LeBron's play out the water, pinning a guy who's 3 inches smaller than you to the backboard versus taking a ball that's halfway down from a guy who had a, I guess I am going to run through because it's that exciting, who had a 40-foot head start on you, and you had one step to your left from the weak side. You're already in the paint. You move literally 1 foot with your left hand. I mean, it's the best defensive play I've ever seen. I mean that. Just incredible. I don't know how that ball didn't go through. If it was like, you know, Tatum couldn't quite, you know, get the whole thing and really cock it back, and if he wasn't a proficient dunker, I'm not putting it up in that territory, but that thing was jammed back like, I mean, like Dr. J, like whomever, like Dominique, like Jordan. That thing was halfway down. Incredible, incredible play. This series is going to be great. One thing that you notice, and I want to play this for you, Jimmy Butler spoke about just how great a condition the Heat are, his teammates are. They're just, they know their roles. They're not afraid. Young guys aren't afraid to step up and take big shots, let alone make them. We've seen it all year. You know, Nunn is on the first team all-rookie team. Tyler Hero's on the second team all-rookie team. Pat Riley's still got the magic touch. You want to know why good franchises remain good? Because they have smart, savvy people running the show. What's the commonality with bad teams? It's the opposite. They reach. They overdraft. They don't see something that others do, or they see something that nobody else does that's imaginary. This Heat franchise is tremendous. And so is the Celtics organization, but nobody really thought the Heat would be here. I've liked them all year, I had them winning last series and the series before. This I stopped short. I said it's going to be a Celtics series. Deep, Celtics will win. I thought the Celtics would win last night, and I'm not going to bail on that. But, you know, there's a big part of me, and I'm conditioned to hate the Heat, you know, just the whole thing with Riley and the battles with the Knicks back in the day. But it's just as a pure basketball fan, not that I wouldn't want to watch Tatum and Kemba and those guys. This team is a throwback team that is just so much fun to watch, and a lot of it has to do the shape they're in. Here's Jimmy Butler on that.
I don't think it's just execution. I think we're in really, really, really good shape, you know, mentally. And whenever you're not tired physically, you can concentrate. You can remember plays. You can do this and you can do that. we pride ourselves on that. And I think as of late, we have been playing great basketball lately.
You know, this guy, and I was wrong on this. Like, Jimmy Butler was – first of all, everybody was wrong on this. We all knew that Jimmy was a baller. We all Jimmy was, you know, whether it's a pickup game, whether it's a street fight, whether it's conference finals, whatever it might be, you want Jimmy Butler on your team. This is hysterical. So, D-Cell, take you in here. So, these guys are working at my house right now. My wife had to go and pick up the kids and take them to, oh, geez, I knew this would be tough, to karate and then eventually football. And these guys, what? I can't just do it. D-Cell, I can't communicate with these guys. They're asking me questions. I see them out of the corner of my eye. Do whatever you want. Just don't mess the house up and don't ruin the house. Yes, please, guys, do it. But Jimmy Butler is a dude where it was very hard to look at him and say, yeah, that's a max player. You know, maybe I misread it, maybe more than you did. Maybe you always thought he was a max player, which I think would be a bit of, you know, revisionist history at this point. But the guy's getting better every year, becoming a bigger shot maker. In the fourth quarter, he's just an absolute beast. His energy is infectious. And when he's in the right situation, unlike Minnesota or even Philly, like when he was with Chicago, true asset before that went sideways. When he's with guys that play the right way and follow, I want to say just follow his lead, but feel his personality, relate to it, you know, embrace it, love it. This guy is worth every penny of the max, man. And at that point, if you really want to gauge it in terms of you know, like just true bottom line impact, it's really hard not to put Jimmy Butler absolutely as a top 10 player in the NBA. But you can make the case he's a top 5 player. Just in terms of what he does correlating to team success and the influence of what he does, the percentage that it has, and the impact, the profound impact it has on that team success, the level of success. Listen, I'm not saying that, you know, Doncic isn't, you know, Doncic is going to win multiple MVPs, and LeBron's obviously LeBron, and you got a few others. But Jimmy Butler is just, he's irreplaceable. He really is. Awesome to watch. Awesome to see. We've got the update coming up from Ack in a moment. Ack, how you doing today, buddy? You good?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm good. Are you surprised? We're going to get to the Big Ten coming up next hour, but how surprised are you? Ack did college football show for years. You know a lot of those Big Ten officials and coaches and decision makers. You surprised about the reversal here?
I am. It just goes to show you what you know, rules the roost there. So I just think that it's – look, everybody's trying to get through this the best they can,
yep.
And if you can, and if there's a way, they're going to give it a shot, and, you know, we'll see if they could do it.
I'm with you, man. So there are a lot of pitfalls and possible stumbles to get back. The rules for the Big Ten are a little different than some of the other conferences here, but we'll get to that coming up for Eastern. Get Axe update, inbounds, out of bounds after that on this Wednesday. Love to get some tweets. Anything I said you agree with, maybe more importantly or more interestingly, you disagree with. We'd love to hear from you. Read a few, respond to a few. Hit me up on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney or directly at Brandon Tierney.
Bam,
Axe
bam,
update right
bam.
Now, Rich. Okay, Tiki and Tierney back, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a minute. Then we'll jump into at the top of the hour. The Big Ten is back, which is awesome for everybody. And back in time where they can compete for championships. It's time to ask the pros, though, first up. And we give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio and use the hashtag AskThePros. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around and listen later on. Tiki and I will answer that. So challenge us, and we'll do it on air. We'll give you some props as well. Think O'Reilly Auto, if we don't shred you to pieces, if it's a bad question, that could also happen. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. So we'll do the Big Ten and the fallout from that, as I said, coming up at 4 Eastern. Mike Francesa does not really break stories. You're not even really on the air anymore, to my knowledge. But, you know, Mike, longtime New York icon, Yeah, Prince, interesting guy, Mike, man. And I guess he's breaking a story that the Browns want to trade Beckham. We're going to get into that. That didn't take too long, did it? Hey, one game. What was it, 3 catches for 22 yards? I told Tiki over the summer, we had a conversation about Beckham. I said, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to play for 5 teams before it's all said and done. He's already got the job. And Tiki's like, 5? I'm like, I'll tell you why before we get to inbounds, out of bounds. 5. One's already in the rearview mirror, the Giants. The Browns, 2. You could already see the writing on the wall. Obviously, this is over. This will soon be 2. Whether it's this week or next month or whatever, this offseason, it's going to be 2. And then what happens? Now you start getting them on the cheap. Now the third team's like, well, we're not bringing him in to be our number one, so, or we've got a veteran quarterback who can corral him, or we've got a really respected head coach with championship cachet that can maybe unwind him or wind him up properly. That'll be team 3. Invariably, that goes sideways, which leads to a fourth team, and then just based right around, I'd say, the age of 32 or so, whatever remains of that once tantalizing talent, that skill set, which was off the charts, astronomically good, somebody will bring in for the veteran minimum, and that will not work out, and he will retire, and that will be 5 teams. Inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now with Tiki and Tierney.
D-Cell ready to rock and roll today. D-Cell, how the pipes feeling? You good?
Let's do it, BT.
All right, man. What's happening?
All right, let's start it off with a little NFL.
Nice.
The Bears squeaked out a week one win over the Lions, thanks to your guy Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch.
But wideout Allen Robinson is upset that the team hasn't given him a new contract. After reports surfaced that Robinson requested a trade, his agent, Brandon Parker, told ESPN that while Robinson is unhappy, he hasn't officially requested a trade. Mm. After missing 15 games with Jacksonville in 2017, Robinson caught 153 passes for 1,900 yards and 11 touchdowns in his first 2 years in Chicago. So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, Allen Robinson is a legit number one wide receiver.
I'm going to say inbounds here. Now, not in the, Julio Jones or Michael Thomas, who's banged up right now, or Randy Moss back in the day, or, all the stud, the Megatrons guys. He's not that kind of receiver. Or even Beckham his first year or two with the Giants. But the way you can structure a team, you can still be an elite number one wide receiver and win big and not necessarily be one of the 3, 4, 5 best at your position. Jordy Nelson's a good example. He's obviously different than Jordy Nelson, but Jordy pops into my mind back in the day with the Packers when, he was pretty much their number one. He would get deep a lot, deceptive speed, but he was never one of those, top-tier, upper echelon stars. When you put up, 14 touchdowns early on, and you lead the league in that category, and you go for like 1,500 yards receiving, and then basically 4 or 5 years later with a different team, you have similar numbers, you have incredible talent, and he's still young. He just turned 27. He feels older than that. He's been on our radar a long time. Penn State, national games, big name. I really like the kid, the young man. I like him a lot, and I do believe he's on the back end of being a true number one, yes.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, BT, we touched on this yesterday. As the Rockets say goodbye to Mike D'Antoni, owner Tillman Fertitta spoke to CNBC and told the future of their GM, saying, quote, Daryl Morey's job is safe, and I'm sure he's going to pick up the right head coach.
And by the way, is this the same guy who said D'Antoni's going to be back?
Yes, that is. This is the same guy.
I know it is. Yeah, I got you.
As we know, Morey got the entire league in hot water this summer with his tweet about China and Hong Kong. So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, Daryl Morey does deserve to keep his job in Houston.
Well, I'm going to separate the tweet from what he's done from a basketball point of view. I believe that he does. I do. I believe that he deserves to keep his job, and I believe that he... Listen, if he's keeping his job, you've got to let him do his job. And at that point, that would enable him, that would empower him give him the license, the latitude to hire the new coach. I mean, you know, Mike D'Antoni's a good coach. He's not a great coach, but he's good. You know, the roster is didn't help. You know, when you bring a COVID employee in and you miss games, your sixth man, that kind of hurts. Who knows what they weren't good enough to win anyway. But still, I think that. Analytically speaking, while now you know, the rest of the league is obviously engaged in this and long has been, he is a sharp dude with a brilliant mind and a uniquely wired mind. I think he's more of an asset for sure than a detriment. I believe they need to really tweak a lot, and I'd like to see who's on a short list of coaches. But I would say inbounds. There's been too much regular season success to cast him as a failure. I believe that he deserves another shot.
Are you in or are you out?
Shorter rope this time for sure, but one more shot.
All right, BT. Yesterday, Major League Baseball released its plans for a postseason bubble. The first round will be a best of three with all games at the home team's ballpark. The NLDS will be split between Houston and Texas, while the NLDS will be played at Padres Petco Park and Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
San Diego and Texas will host the respective LCSs, and the World Series will be played in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, Rob Manfred and Major League Baseball did get it right with their postseason bubble plan.
This is going to surprise you, and I'm sure many of our listeners, because there's been nobody more critical of Manfred than me. I buried the poor guy for basically a year straight, and he's earned it all. But I'm going to say inbounds. First of all, there's just a dearth of options. You had to go bubble. You could not risk getting to the precipice of a championship with all the big TV money rolling in. You just couldn't risk, God forbid, an outbreak, something COVID-related derailing the season if we're lucky enough to finish up these 15 or so games uninterrupted and get to that point and play for the championship through multiple rounds, even though the first round's in the home ballpark. I like it. Now, there's also not many options in terms of where. So if you have a problem, there's two things here, D-Cell. Number one, do you have an issue with the concept of the bubble? I obviously do not. The NBA has been a shining example of how effective, if it's run properly, it is. So, conceptually, good. Now, the other issue some might have is, well, what about the locations? Again, there's a dearth of options. You can't play outdoors in either New York Stadium, either Chicago Stadium. You're not going to play in Philadelphia. You're not going to play in Washington. You're not going to play in Baltimore in mid and late October if you don't have to. You're not going to play in Pittsburgh. You're not going to play in, you know, Detroit or Minnesota or Toronto. Well, forget about Toronto up in Buffalo. You're just not going to. So, and the antiseptic nature of the Trop Dome, I'm not loving that. You're not going to play in the Oakland Coliseum. So you're not going to play in Colorado. There's only a few options. So when you narrow it down to legitimate options, once you're on board with the bubble, which I definitely am, I think it's a good job by the commissioner and his constituents. They finally got something right.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, BT, let's finish up a little college football here.
Yeah.
This year, Navy is playing a full 11-game season in the AAC, while Army is playing 12 games as an independent.
Mm-hmm.
However, after the Mountain West canceled its season, Air Force will only play 2 games against Army and Navy.
Crazy.
But will still be eligible to win the Commander-in-Chief trophy.
Mm.
On Monday, Navy head coach Ken Niumatalolo lashed out.
Nicely done.
I was sweating that for the last 20 minutes.
I stumble on it every time. Good job.
Lashed out telling reporters, quote, "This is above us. This is guys at the Pentagon making decisions. Those guys making decisions never played football in their life. They don't know how physical football is," end quote. Yesterday, Niumatalolo apologized for his comments. So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, Air Force should not be eligible to win the Commander-in-Chief trophy this year.
Okay, before I give you my answer, a little pretext here. First of all, you know, we have more important things to discuss at the Pentagon than who's going to win the Commander-in-Chief trophy. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say nobody has more, but I am very, very confident saying that very few people have more pride in our military than myself. I just love it. I revere it. I've said a few times on the show, a few of my buddies went to West Point. I went to a semi-military school down at Chelsea, Xavier High School, some of the greatest roots in the military. I love it. I respect it. I went to West Point basketball camp. It's crazy. What these young men do, and women, for our country is be above and beyond. No. Just want to get that out of the way. In terms of should they should not be eligible, I want to say out of bounds here. Because while the other stuff matters, you know, other teams in the American Conference, whatever, I look at this trophy, really, if I'm going to boil it down to something, head-to-head performance. Like, I don't care how West Point does against Buffalo or how West Point does against, I don't know, Houston or, I don't know, I'm coming up, I usually say Bowling Green at this point, but so I guess I'll say Bowling Green, right? I don't care. I do care how Army, I mean, I hope that Army wins those games because I'm always rooting for the Black Knights on the Hudson. I hope that Navy fares well. But what really matters to me, at least pertaining to this symbol, this trophy, is who wins the games when the academies play each other. And, you know, Air Force is going to be, you know, woefully out of shape, even though they'll be in physical shape, not football shape, because they won't have not playing any games. And if they're lucky enough or good enough to beat, you know, the two other academies, then put their name on it. I mean, the fact that this is actually being discussed high level at the Pentagon, there's got to be bigger things to discuss than this trophy. So, and not to minimize the trophy, I love it. But I, you know, now you know where I stand on this. Is if they beat West Point, then, you know, and Navy, then they deserve it, period.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
And that's one of the great regrets of, you know, not pertaining to family or real life important stuff, but at least for this show, we're not going to be at Army Navy this year. I don't think. I mean, I can't imagine that this is going to change that rapidly where we're in, you know, like a radio row, and I don't know, that would surprise me. That seems a little ambitious. That is such an awesome broadcast there. It's such a great setup. D-Cell's had a chance to, you know, be on the other end of it. I wish he could be there one year with us. Hopefully it will be. Santer's been out there, you know, last 4 or 5 years with us, whatever it's been. And it's just a top flight, 5-star platinum event. So I love it. I love it. But I don't know, D-Cell, do you disagree with what I said about the role in the Commander-in-Chief trophy with the two games versus the 11 and 12?
I don't know if it's legitimate if they play two games.
I got you. I mean, I could see why some people would say that. But again, if you beat them, it almost feels like the two games becomes 9 or 10. But I got you. It's a fair complaint. I understand. All right, coming up, hour number two. Big Ten, back. October, here we go. That's next, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.